Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Steve Felder, a very, very good morning. Are you alarmed by that? Are you as concerned as I am about this new research? Because I'm now completely hysterical.
Yes, good morning, Howard. It definitely gives me pause for reflection as well.
Well, at least, you know, you're reflecting. I'm just panicking. So that's, you're still probably in better shape than I am. Anyway, a very good morning to you, and thanks for chatting to us. You know, so often we see the news from another country, and it looks a lot more dramatic and a lot more, because we focus on that intense thing. But it's very concerning what we are seeing. I mean, reports yesterday saying 4,000 deaths, and that's official deaths from COVID-19 in one day in India. What is the situation like there?
Well, unfortunately, in this case, what you see in the media and what you hear, unfortunately, is pretty much correct. The situation at the moment with the second wave is really bad, and we've come through a very long journey with COVID. You first need to recognize that India, of course, has a population of 1.4 billion people, 28 states, 8 union territories, many of them with devolved power and decision making. And already the healthcare infrastructure spend, is 1.5% of GDP, which is amongst the lowest in the world. If you compare it, for example, to Denmark or Canada in the 10 to 11% range. It's quite bad at the moment, but it's really been, an evolution, like in many countries. But I guess India, with the socioeconomic issues and the population density, it's been compounded quite a lot over time. I was actually talking to my wife the other day, and we were reminiscing that last year on March 22nd, when the Prime Minister announced a voluntary curfew, what they call a junta curfew, we sat on our balcony with our neighbors in our building, and we reminisced at we just remarked how quiet the city was. You know, Mumbai is a city 20 minutes tall, a bustling city. It's vibrant. City, yeah. There's traffic, there's noise. And we were joking that we actually felt like we were in the south of France.
Amazing.
But last year in the first wave, India had a very hard lockdown. It was initially for 3 weeks from March 25th, but it ended up being in one form or another for 9 months. And you might have seen, videos on social media of police beating people up and migrant workers walking literally 1,000 kilometers back to their home states. It was a very, very strict lockdown. We were quite fortunate because I had a police pass because my business is considered essential services. So my driver could pretty much drive anywhere, which enabled us to also help some friends get supplies, etc. But, initially action was taken very quickly by government. And I think this definitely had a positive impact on averting a very bad situation at the time in the first wave. I remember, we almost, as a community, we felt a sense of sort of teamwork or, communal responsibility. In Hindi, you would say, ek aur ek gyara hota hai, which means one and one makes 11, and everyone felt responsible.
For each other.
As things evolved, and of course, the impact on the economy was devastating. In quarter two of last year, the economy contracted 24%, and no country can afford this, especially a country with the complex challenges of India's proportions. So government was actually faced with no choice but to start reopening. And during the winter months, things seemed more or less normal. Restaurants opened. I even recall late in February this year, my wife and I went out to a restaurant with 4 other couples, and I joked that we were partying like it was 2019. Life seemed normal. And the vaccination program rolled out with quite some speed. There are about 3 million vaccinations a day. I was fully vaccinated by the end of March without a hitch. And then it just suddenly started escalating again. And now, we're seeing 400,000 confirmed cases a day, but many experts concur that the number of cases and the deaths that you mentioned are understated. They say the cases, in fact, are understated by a factor of anywhere between 10 and 30. Yeah. And you know, there were some clear missteps. There was the Kumbh Mela where pilgrims go and dip themselves in the Ganges River, which attracted 3.5 million people with little to no precautions. And there were massive election rallies that were held, particularly in West Bengal. So, you know, these events clearly had the potential to be super spreader events. And I think what we're changing now, what we're seeing now change how it is. A lot of younger people are getting more severely affected. Many deaths in the younger age groups. And a lot of people who haven't been outside their buildings for weeks are getting infected without any explanation.
Wow.
And even wealthy and influential people are struggling to get ICU beds, oxygen, and medication. I mean, all day long, I see chatter on various WhatsApp groups, which, you know, include many influential people, literally helpless. And you know, looking at it, I feel totally helpless. So some states have introduced or reintroduced some restrictions or lockdowns in various forms, but I think everyone's very conscious that you have to try and balance lives and livelihoods, because in India they very much can be considered interchangeable. You know, people literally can starve to death, and so many people are daily wage earners.
What's also obviously very, very difficult is this notion of undocumented people being literally living their lives on the street, therefore almost unknown in terms of who is ill, who requires assistance, who's died, and you know, managing it through this type of situation. It must open up the cracks that already exist in the in India tremendously.
Absolutely, and there are so many unknowns, right? For example, in the largest slum in Mumbai, the antibody studies or let's say sero surveys showed that about 90% of the occupants had antibodies. So you know, you say they already had in a micro some sort of herd immunity, but you never really know what the full picture is. You know, there's so much of an information gap, and it's so hard to get a handle on the information.
And in terms of the comments that you made before, that access to oxygen, ICU beds, that just sounds like a complete horror. You know, I was following the tweets of, there was a journalist who was basically tweeting his own death and was recording his oxygen levels as they plummeted, and there was just no chance that he could get into a hospital.
It's harrowing stuff, and there's so many of these stories. I mean, things are starting to gradually improve. For example, Mumbai is starting to stabilize. Delhi is particularly bad at the moment. Calcutta, Chennai, Bangalore, all pretty bad. In Kerala, for example, there are beds available, but you can't really get there. So there are a lot of horror stories out there, and it continues. But we're now starting to see a refocusing on oxygen production and distribution. We're starting to see a lot of governments chipping in. We've seen some big shipments of oxygen from for example, Ireland and Israel. And I think, you know, South Africa can take a lot of lessons from what's happening in India. You know, firstly, that the situation can escalate in a matter of weeks. You know, secondly, that there's a lead time in producing and distributing oxygen, and thirdly, that more young people may get impacted much more than expected. So, if, for example, in Mumbai, they're now starting to prepare pediatric ICU wards for the next wave.
Absolutely frightening. How's the Jewish community managing there?
I think generally the Jewish community, first of all, you know, in India is fairly small, about 7,000 people. And in general, I would say the Jewish community, most of the Jewish community live in apartments, and they're able to isolate and able to protect themselves. But of course, you know, they're impacted in reality no more and no less than most of the community.
And final question, the people, those that have been vaccinated, are they, because obviously the concern is this is a new variant, it is what they're calling a double mutation, have they been protected thus far?
So far the data, at least the data that I've seen from credible sources, shows a very high success rate with a vaccination program. You know, India is using two vaccines, which is the Covishield, manufactured by AstraZeneca and Oxford, or manufactured by Serum Institute of India under the auspices of AstraZeneca and Oxford, and Covaxin, which is developed by Bharat Biotech, a homegrown company. And so far, actually, the efficacy seems very good, although there have been, you know, quite a number of cases where people have been infected even after their second shot, but generally have been okay. A friend of mine in Delhi, his father contracted COVID after his second shot, and his father's in his 80s, and he was absolutely fine. So that's pretty encouraging.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, that is where we have to leave it. Thank you for giving us that insight. It's so important to actually hear it from somebody who understands and who sees what's going on the ground. Steve Felder, Managing Director in Southeast Asia at Maersk. Stay safe.